Hey, so before we get started, I wanted to talk to you guys about Disney Plus. Now, I know by now you've probably heard about Disney Plus, the new streaming service that includes Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. With all these amazing brands in one place, Disney Plus has one of the most incredible libraries in the entire streaming landscape, and it's all ad-free. From classics like Snow White to today's blockbusters like Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame, the content on Disney Plus is truly unparalleled. And if all that isn't enough, Disney Plus even has originals like The Mandalorian, the first live-action Star Wars series. So don't miss out. Go and sign up today and start streaming and tell them Hayes sent you. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of The Awakened Soul. We got a couple of guests playing this week. Mr. JB, a.k.a. The Prodigal One, my brother and co-host from The Film Frequency and my brother's Keepers podcast, is joining me for the End of Mona Hayes discussion this week, where we'll be talking about the debate, Trump and COVID, and also a little preluding to the upcoming vice presidential debate coming up this Wednesday. So we got JB on there. We got Tia with the Cookie Chronicles. We also got Peabody from Social Complex coming in for a discussion topic. And this week we are actually kicking off a new series. You know, I like to do my things in trilogies. And this new trilogy is called Creative Minds. So this one is Creative Minds Episode 1, When Beef Becomes Brotherhood, is the first one. This is a great discussion. For anyone who knows me and Peabody's history, knows that it's a weird one. And, you know, some stuff actually came out in this conversation that I didn't realize either. Like, we had actually been connected years, a while before. And then, you know, the funny thing is that what I mainly wanted to do, even, you know, me and Peabody's history of, like, being on opposite sides and coming at one another, that wasn't the focus on it. What I wanted to do with this Creative Mind series was really bring in creatives who have really either started during this pandemic, where I have added new things to their creativity during this pandemic. Peabody was just the first one up. And naturally we went to real life things and real life topics because, you know, I mean, we had to talk about it. It was like the elephant in the room. But that's that. We talk about that. We talk about creativity. We talk a lot about our creative process, how children have affected that, a lot of stuff going in on that. But I think ultimately what this first episode of this Creative Mind series is, and what I wanted it to represent, is to show how when people are actually on their grown man shit, how we can put a lot of that silly shit to the side. And, you know, it was a great conversation. I look forward to working with Peabody more in the future. This one was long overdue. I'm glad that we were able to make it happen, and it happened in the right time. You know, ideally, I wish we would have been able to squash things and it would have happened prior to now. But everything happens for a reason. Everything happens in the season and in the time of life that it's meant to happen. And I think this conversation is going to be reflective of that. Again, so just so you guys kind of know, first half of the show is a pretty lengthy political conversation with my brother JB. Timestamps are in the description because I know politics aren't necessarily for everyone. We also got the Cookie Chronicles from Tia. And then we have Creative Minds Volume 1 as the meat of this episode, the last discussion topic. Also, I'm kicking around some ideas for some new stuff that I want to bring to the podcast. New ways to present things. And you may see some things change after this Creative Mind series. So as we go towards the end of this year, I'm just going to be trying out some new things. Let me know what you guys think about it. I love the reception to the last couple of episodes. The feedback was a great one. I really love being able to like read and dig into the reactions. And having reaction episodes as a full lengthy discussion can be a little weird, especially if you didn't listen to the last episode. But the last two episodes go so hand in hand, and I look at them as like different chapters in the same book. And you have to get all those chapters sometimes to get all of the information. So just great. I always say fall is my best time. I continually say that fall is when I'm at my best. It's when I'm at my most creative. It's just when I'm at my most happiest generally. So like this, the stuff that I'm working on now, you guys saw it last week with anyone who saw the YouTube videos, the YouTube version, or even the promos videos. I did a lot of little extra creative stuff with that one. And I'm just really, really continue looking forward to just what we're building here at The Awakened Soul. And as video becomes more of a tool, and you know what I'm doing with that, for those who know, I have a photography and videography business, so I'm using it as twofold, right? The podcast is always going to be its own thing. That's my passion. That's a whole different thing. But I'm using the fact that I do use video so heavily in this podcast to also showcase some of my skills with videography. So if anybody sees the podcast, they see, oh, he does some shit. So It's just, it's funny. I'm trying to bring it all together in a unique and interesting way just to continue growing this platform and everything that we're building. But that's enough prefacing. That's like 5 minutes of just the intro. We're going to go ahead. We're going to get into our intro music. On the other side of that, you can catch me and JB during the In the Mind of Hayes segment where we'll be talking about the political debates. I'll see you guys right after this.
The following is a Breaks Media podcast.
You are now listening to the best podcast in the world, The Awakened Soul, hosted by my daddy.
Listen, China ate your lunch, Joe.
You're the worst president America has ever had. Come on. I'm not here to call out his lies. Everybody knows he's a liar.
But you
agree. I want to make sure.
You graduated last in your class, not first in your class.
I want to make sure.
Mr. President, can you let him finish, sir?
No, he doesn't know how to do that.
You know what? You're
not true.
You're doing it.
You're going to have.
True.
Gentlemen. I hate to raise my voice, but I see it seems to be, why should I be different than the two of you?
I will tell you very simply, we won the election. Elections have consequences. We have the Senate, we have the White House, and we have a phenomenal nominee, respected by all.
Welcome to My Dark and Twisted Crazy Ass Mind. This is the In the Mind of Hayes segment on the Awakened Soul podcast, where we talk about usually things that are happening in the news and culture. And I've only ever had two guests ever in the history during the In the Mind of Hayes segment, because it's in my dark mind and I don't trust everybody to be in my mind. Everybody can't take it. But luckily we got my brother, the prodigal one himself, my co-host on the film frequency, and my brother's keeper, Mr. JB's in the building. What's going on, bro?
Hello. I'm in the mind of Hayes. It's fucking weird in here.
What's going on, bro?
What's going on, bro? So it's funny. So we're here to discuss kind of the fallout from the debate and everything. And bro, there's been only a handful of times where people have literally reached out to me like, can you release a special episode for this? We need to hear your opinions on it. And I think I actually, did I ask you even before the debate if you come on and talk to me about it? Maybe it was like the day after or right afterwards. But because I wanted to wait to talk to you, I was like, I'm going to wait. I got to do this with my brother, JB. We did a little prelude to it on My Brother's Keeper. We might as well keep it going. So bro, before we get started on like any details or whatever, this was the biggest clown show I have ever seen in my life as it relates to politics. I've never seen two people who could potentially be leading our country act in this way. What do you think, bro?
Personally, I enjoyed every second of
oh,
it.
Oh yeah, I love it.
When we spoke on MBK, I said that this is going to be a circus show, and it lived up to my expectations. I mean, what are these men are going to lead the country, the greatest country on the planet, for the next 4 years? Keep that in mind.
Yeah, yeah. It's And the thing with this is that I do want to say, like, Trump did what I think we all expect him to do, right? He likes to get it this way because that's how he front runs. Biden honestly kind of disappointed me, and this is where I'm going to say this at, is that all Biden had to do for this debate was stay poised, stick to the facts. That smile he was doing like in the first round where he just kind of would smirk when Trump would say little shit, that's what Obama would have done. The whole completely classed him out of this fucking debate, stuck to the facts or whatnot. Biden started getting in the mud with him, the whole you're a clown, Putin's puppy, while great and fucking hilarious, let me just say that those are great sound bites and hilarious. If you really wanted to turn people and show the difference between Trump and Biden, Biden dropped the bomb because he started doing the petty shit right along with Trump. And so what do you think about that aspect of it?
Well, I agree with you 100%. And again, we talked about this on MBK. I think if Biden would have held his poise, like you said, mm-hmm. did those smirky smiles and just kept to the policies and the topics, he would have looked way more stronger. Instead, you have others, myself included, actually showing some I think that showed weakness on Biden, because Trump was able to bring him into his world and bring him down to his level, which is probably what Trump's plan was in the beginning. Yeah. Now, Trump can use that and say, listen, if he can't handle me, How is he going to handle all the other world leaders out there? Because there's some crazy ass world leaders. How are you going to handle these if you can't handle little old me? So I think it was a great move from Trump. And I think Biden totally messed up. I don't think Biden's intention was to go back and forth with him. Mm-hmm. But when you're in there and you're being looked at by millions of people on TV, and, you know, they had about 70 people in an audience.
Yeah.
It's hard not to defend yourself, sort of.
Yeah. And then I think too, the thing where Biden really got it to a different, because, you know, going back and forth with Trump after a while, I think people would have forgiven Biden after the son comment. And it was like, okay, well, he, you know, you got to defend your family. And then, so if you would have gotten, you know, that shut up man, and that would have came after that, okay, I kind of understand that. But where Biden really messed up too is that then he started cutting off the moderator, Chris Wallace, just like Trump did. And they, like, that's where it's like, okay, shout out to Chris Wallace, because he handled it. He had the most class up there, but still at some point I would have had to tell the motherfuckers to both shut the fuck up. But, you know, I'm sure he had a drink. But let's get into some of the details here. The biggest thing that people are going to be, that are going to talk about and that are going to take away from this between this and the next debate is that Trump had the opportunity to speak out against white supremacy and did not take that opportunity. He responded with,
but are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups, sure, and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure,
are you
I'm
prepared
willing
to specifically
do, that,
do it?
Well,
go
I would
ahead,
say,
sir.
I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you? What are you? Look, what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see
peace. Then do it, sir.
Say it. Do you want to call him? What do you want to call them? Give me a name. Give me a
white
name.
Supremacists and
who
white
would you like me to condemn?
White supremacists and right
Proud Boys. Militia. Stand back and stand by. But I'll tell you what. Somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left, because this is not a right wing problem. This is a left
wing.
This is a left wing problem.
White supremacists. Antifa's an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not
militia.
Which is in no way denounced. And I've seen people try to defend that as, well, he did denounce it by saying that. If you tell someone to stand back and stand by, what that means to me is saying, all right, get behind me. When I need you, I'll call you. That's all that means to me. What do you think about that?
I think if he would have stopped at stand back, it wouldn't have been such a big thing. Because stand back is probably meaning like hold up.
Yeah.
But when he said stand by, that means for now. So here's the thing, and I know your listeners are probably like, you know, give me shit for this, but I honestly do not believe Trump is some undercover white, you know, supremacist. However, he's running for presidency.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the vote. There's a lot of white supremacists, aka Nazis and et cetera, out there. He obviously wants their vote. If he would have denounced them, what do you think would have happened? They would have turned their back on him, probably. So he's still trying to get their votes, obviously, because it's a large majority of them. So I think it was a little bit of diplomacy. He looked horrible in doing so, because while he's just trying to play to a small group of people, you have everybody else, including Republicans, who were like, wait, what the hell did he just say? So I think he got caught up in the moment there, and it looked bad for him, really.
Well, okay, so here's the thing, and I don't want this to become the main part of the conversation, but okay, I think Trump is definitely more of a classist than a racist, but
100%.
He still is very much, he has racist ideas, and I've said this before, it's kind of like with the Drake thing. Like, I don't have any problems with Drake as an artist. It's Drake's fans, and Trump supporters are racist, and he speaks to that base, and he's afraid to denounce it because he does, like, to your point, he is going to lose a huge part of his base. But Trump has done some racist shit. Now, classism and racism kind of overlap some, so I can definitely see where people focus on just the racist aspect. But best believe, poor white people, Trump doesn't give a shit about you either. What do you think?
100%. No, 100% agreed. You know, for those who haven't listened to the episode, forgive me, I forgot the name of the episode, but it's when Hayes had the panel with me, Billy Ray, and a bunch of us. We were talking about, does white, I forgot what the topic was. But anyway, it was a good episode. The point is, Billy Ray had brought up that point about there's not really so much racism or there's more classism. And I think that's a great point. I think Donald Trump doesn't care what color your skin is. His main color is green. Do you have money or do you not? Are you upper echelon or you one of the, you know, kind of the bottom levels, and he'll hate anybody that's not sort of upper mid class and higher, and that's just him. So I think you put that perfectly, actually.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, I want to make it clear that's not to deny or to act like his some of that racism doesn't shine through. For example, you know, we talk about with the Central Park Five, how he took out a whole ad, and then how that all boiled down. So, you know, but still, it boils down a big part to class. As far as anything else in this debate, so Biden, let's get to, because as much as I, you know, I'm not a Trump supporter, we can't ignore Biden. And another thing that I want to say, that I say that Biden stuck his foot in his mouth in, when he adamantly declared, "I am the Democratic Party," I immediately facepalm, bro. I'm like, why would you say that? Why? That's, and the reason why that's bad, and for people who don't really follow politics or whatever, that may not sound like a bad thing to say. He is the Democratic nominee, and some people, and he, for a lot of people, he is looked at as the Democratic Party. But this is why, again, this is kind of why I always sit with not just going to just one party, but when you say that, there are people who are Democrats who are fucking radicals and who do stupid shit. So when you say, "I am the Democratic Party," what that does is that opens you up for any type of issues that anybody has with anything that happens in the Democratic Party. Now, for those who aren't as intelligent as far as with politics, now can sit there and say, well, Joe, if you are the Democratic Party, I need you to explain this and that. So what do you think about that?
No, again, agree to that point, because I don't care what party you're talking about. There's positives and negatives to every party. So when you make a sort of a blanket statement like that, now you're saying you're everything. And if there's some people, like you said, they're not necessarily strong in politics, and they're, you know, one of the ones that are on the fence, they may see some negatives on the Democratic side and say, oh, you know what? I'm not with that. I'm not with those particular views. So maybe I shouldn't vote for Biden. So you have to be careful when you make those type of statements. And this is why, like, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into it because that's not the point here, but I hope at some point, whether it's our kids or our grandkids or so on, I hope at one point, all this political sides, you know, Democrat and Republican, is no more, and we're just looking at two people for their views, and that's it, and there are no labels. I don't know if that's ever going to exist, but I really hope it does at some point.
I think the only hope that we have in that in parties going away is, so that would have to go away, and the Electoral College would have to go away. I look at those as like a hand-in-hand thing, because as long as you have the Electoral College and you have, you know, it's looked at as states, pretty much know which way certain states are going to go, it makes sure. it supports the idea of having red and blue states. But like you said, ultimately, and this is a whole nother topic, but I love that we got here naturally, is that it's meant as another way to divide people, because there are people who are technically in the conservative party who are very liberal conservatives. Same way on the other side, there are people who are in the liberal party who are conservative liberals. So like, as we educate ourselves more in what politics really mean, the fact that everything is political, the fact that, you know, how information is used to control us, once we start getting more into those type of conversations and more, and awareness on that becomes more of a mass level, people will start seeing the needs for parties go down and down, because ultimately it's all about, like you said, it's about that person's ideas, what they stand behind. Because a lot of people, hell, Trump, for example, Trump talked shit about the Republican Party for 15 years. And even he said at one point, if he ever ran for office, it would not be as a Republican. But now look at it. He did that because that's his base. That's how he got in the door. So, you know, I mean, I'm just saying that should put a highlight on how the fact that political parties are, it's a lot more to it than just all red think this way, all blue think that way. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great reminder. When Trump ran for office the first time around, he spent the entire primary campaign talking crap about the Republicans. And he even said, hey, if you guys don't nominate me, I'll go off as an independent.
Yeah.
And I'll steal votes from whoever the Republican Party is, you know? So yeah, but obviously he had to do that because that's his base. But the key word in all of everything we've just been talking about for the last 2-3 minutes is the word you said, which is divide. Okay. It's just another means of dividing. And there's nothing more than the government wants than divide.
Yeah.
You know, when we divide, that's a win for them. I mean, that's just how it is.
For sure, for sure, for sure. What are any things, any points in this debate, or anything you want to make sure that we talk about? Go ahead.
No, man, and here's the, and that's the problem. The purpose of a, so in my opinion, I think I would say 75% of people who watch a debate are just watching to watch because their minds are already made up. I'm going this way, I'm going that way. I do think there is a 25%. I may be off on these percentages, obviously, but there is a portion that they're legit. They don't know which way they're going to go. So these debates mean a lot. I believe that this first debate was just, all jokes aside, was just an absolute waste of time. Because regardless of what was said, I guarantee you, if you pull somebody and say, hey, can you tell me some of the topics that were discussed? They'll name a few, but they can name every single insult and you know, ridicule and any, they can name all of those things, but they may not be able to list all the topics that were discussed because people were more into all the stupidness that was going on versus all the things that should have really mattered. So that took it away from it, which to his credit, I'm sure that's exactly what Trump wanted, because the more of a shit show it is, the better he looks.
And the thing, Trump did not, anything of note, of importance, Trump didn't have answers for any of it. Now, Joe, I'll have to admit too, he had more answers than Trump, but a lot of it is like, I don't know if they're saving it for later debates or what, but it seemed like, it felt like there were times where Joe could have had a knockout punch, if they were using the boxing analogy in this, by coming with facts. For example, Trump saying that he had to close the greatest economy in the world. Trump keeps using the fact that unemployment rates were at an all-time low before COVID as meaning that the economy was doing great, when there's evidence to the contrary with that. Our domestic product was down 4% than any other president in the last, I can't remember how much time. So the economy, while unemployment rates, more people were working, which does boost the economy. But when we talk about our actual domestic product, and where that's one of the biggest statistics in the factor of looking at how our economy is doing, Joe could have hopped on that and completely tore down his argument, because that's been Trump's argument for the longest, is that we've had the greatest economy before COVID. And instead, he focused more on, well, we would have lost more lives. And I feel like, with, I don't know if Joe doesn't have the facts, I don't know if his people didn't prepare him for that, because I was waiting in this debate, because you know Trump's going to bring it up because he's a money guy, he's a finance guy who's going to talk about the economy. And the fact that I have to make this point and Biden didn't is exactly part of the issue. What do you think there?
Well, I feel when it comes to a lot of the topics, I feel like Joe Biden can have an advantage. But when it comes to economics and financials, Trump will always kill him, because he knows it. And you could see Trump's whole, and not only in debates, I'm just talking in general. You can see when he's talking about finances and economy, his whole face just changes and he goes into like his zone, because that's what he knows. That's what he's known all of his life. And I think one of the biggest issues is Donald Trump says something over and over, and when he says this, Joe Biden does not know how to defend himself. And it's what he says when he says, you were in office for all those years. Well, you know,
47 Obama years, was. 47 how months, come you, which was a great line.
Right. That was an amazing line. But speaking of the 8 years he was vice president, how come your administration didn't do this? How come your administration didn't do that? And I think Biden does not have an answer, because what is he supposed to say? If that's facts, what is he supposed to say?
Well, see, and that's the thing, is that Biden could have very well said, well, I was the vice president. I supported Obama.
No way. Are you crazy?
No. I'm saying he could have said that. Kill his ass. But that would have been suicide for his base to say anything, and that's where Biden is in a pickle, is because anything that Trump can point out about the Obama campaign that was an issue, and that if Joe even says, well, I see where we went wrong with it, this is where we're going to make it better, that can be looked at as, okay, now you're shitting on Obama, okay, now we're really not going to fuck with you. So he can't do that. So it's, yeah, I get it. I get where you're coming at with that.
And he cannot bite Obama's hand, because I'm telling you, if he didn't have Obama didn't have his back, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Oh, no. It would be a one-way landslide type of thing.
Yeah.
Obama's endorsement is huge, because Obama is so popular with both I mean, I know you see stupid shit online about people talking shit about Obama, but that's just a small few. Majority of people love Obama.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So that's a slippery slope for him.
What do you think? So we're preparing next week. Well, this week is the vice presidential debate, which I told you I was almost looking more forward to because I think Kamala is just going to murder Pence. But into the next presidential debate, it's supposed to go down on the 14th, I believe. Who knows if that's still going to happen? Trump may be calling in on Zoom with that one, with being diagnosed with COVID, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But what are you looking for in the next debate? And what do you want to see? Or what do you think either one? Because we want to be fair here. As much as I like shitting on Trump, what do you think either party needs to do for this debate to go better?
I don't think it has anything to do with parties. Mm-hmm. I think the moderator and the people setting this shit up need to figure out a way to stop the interrupting and stop that. And I can't believe this is not a thing, but I don't understand why there's not a mute button. I understand you're talking to the president and possibly future vice president, but there needs to be an on and off switch. So if someone starts getting too stupid, you turn their mic off, because it's just a constant back and forth interrupting and they're not getting anything solved. It's a complete shit show. So I think the moderators need to figure something out, and either the people who are setting up this debate.
Either that or just give them gloves and let them fight. Like, just say fuck it.
Well, I've been said since we did MBK episode one. Let's have a versus battle.
No, not even versus. Let's actually have them, even though.
Just box?
Yeah, just box. Just fucking beat somebody's ass. Just fuck it.
Do it.
I think ultimately,
yeah, Mike Tyson to referee.
As much as we're making fun and it sucks, I think the American people lost in this. It's because this is what we have to look forward to. And I think we don't, when you go from somebody like Obama, who had such class and grace and poise all the time, and who knows how to command a room, and to have two people in here who, you know, basically this is geriatric, but like, this is like watching grumpier old men. That's what this is like. This was like watching, and I love Grumpy Old Men. I love that fucking film. That's what this was like watching, bro.
And let's even take it before that. Let's talk about Bush Jr. He wasn't necessarily, you know,
he wasn't the most intelligent, but he was fairly poised as well. Say, yeah.
Correct. He was not the most intelligent person we had. But he never did things that I was like, that's just nuts. I feel like he was still classy. And these two guys, though, and the worst part of all of this is the entire world has their eyes on our nation, and we look like complete jokes to everybody out there. You see the comments on social media, and you have to know what they're thinking. Like, look at you guys. This is a joke. America is supposed to be the greatest country on the planet, and we are a joke.
Well, a couple of days after this, we got and it was so funny because it came at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was up just, I don't know if I was working on a podcast, a topic list, what, and I got notification, Trump confirms him and First Lady positive with COVID, and I was like, this shit can't be real. So I like go looking, and people have used the whole him calling it a hoax, which is part of a bigger statement. I understand, you know, we know how sensationalism goes and whatever. But so not only do Trump and the First Lady have COVID, a lot of it was like four or five people in his entourage and the Republican Party is like, it's like somebody almost tried to sabotage him with COVID. What do you think about that, bro?
Well, do you see the woman that they say that this whole thing came from?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see her? Do you know who she is?
I mean, I've seen her picture. What about her? What are you trying to say?
I'm gonna leave it at that. So what I'm gonna keep in mind when this woman was staying, I'm just gonna say this: when she was staying in the White House, her room was next door to Trump's room. But let's go ahead and move forward. And what you were saying, the day before they announced that he had coronavirus. The wife and I were actually watching one of his rallies. He was in Duluth, Minnesota. Air Force One dropped and like a million people came out. He wasn't wearing a mask, but when he was talking, you could hear in his voice he wasn't really doing too well. My wife even said, like, man, he sounds like he's getting sick. Next thing you know, within like 24 hours or something, 48 hours, I don't remember what it was, they said he has coronavirus. Here's my thing. I'm not going to speculate whether this is a hoax or not, but here are the two things that I want to really say about this. Number one, regardless if this is a hoax or not, I don't know. But Donald Trump will get over this. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, the promo he's going to cut after he gets over this, he's going to say, listen, I'm 70, however old he is. I'm overweight. I'm obese. And I did absolutely fine. Quit bitching. Stop being a pussy.
I beat COVID. It's time to beat Joe. That's what it's like.
Trust.
Oh yeah, this absolutely has to be a slogan. What I will say though is that the people I'm someone who I look at it like this. You will never hear, as much as I joke, as much as I talk shit, especially if you listen to My Brother's Keeper, I say some off the wall shit. I never wish for anybody's death. So the people who are doing that, I understand it, but that's not the way to go about it. Like it's just not. Go ahead.
So that was my second point, and I don't know if you were on my Facebook today, but I posted something on social media a couple hours ago. So disgusting. Some people are like happy that Trump got coronavirus, and they're saying things like, oh, well, Trump has been he has thrown insults to other people. He has wished bad upon other people. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But I actually saw today a mother who I know on Facebook saying indirectly, like, it's a good thing that Trump got the coronavirus because, you know, he's wished bad upon other people. I'm not a father. You're a father of four. This is how could you be a mother or a father and say this? So you mean to tell me if you're a third grade child, you know, someone calls your third grade child something, you're going to teach them like, oh, do it bad. Like, this is not third grade. This isn't a you know, you're an adult and this is a human being. Regardless of how bad the human being is, you may think he is. Why wish death upon somebody or bad ill will against someone? I just don't get that.
Listen. I'm someone who's gone on record and said that if I could, I would run out and hit LeBron James in the knee with a metal bat and get away with it. I get shit like that. But my thing is specifically death. I can hear somebody say all day that they hope Trump is shitting all over himself since he has COVID. That's funny. I take that shit. But it's the death aspect of it. Now, as far as it being a hoax, Bro, I'm not going to lie to you. I do think that this was a hoax. Like, just the timing of it. Now, because other people have gotten it too, it's like, all right, maybe it's not. But at the same time, it's like, bro, and that just tells you where I am now with society. I doubt every fucking thing, bro. Everything. It's not just politics. It's not just Trump. It's with basketball. It's with everything in my life, bro, that I see on TV. I doubt the legitimacy of almost every fucking thing in the media. So that's just where I stand with it.
Yeah, so I said I wouldn't speculate, but since you're bringing it up, and I'll tell you where my feelings are. Let me ask your listeners out there and ask you. You mentioned the timing. That's number one. Let me ask you this question. Do you think ever in Trump's 4 years, almost 4 years in office, something has happened where they kept it under wraps and hidden from the world?
That is one. That is
a good point. No. Do you think that's ever happened? Ever?
Do I think it's with Trump or ever?
With Trump. Do you think anything, even one thing, has happened? I'm not talking about coronavirus. I'm saying anything has happened.
It's happened in every presidency.
Okay. Yeah. So with that being said, why in the hell wouldn't they hide this? Because this looks bad on Trump. Because for all the shit that Trump has talked about, masks and all that stuff, you would think they want to hide this because this looks bad on Trump. They would want to hide this unless they have a bigger plan. And that's where my mind is at right now. Why would they not want to hide this? They could keep this under wraps. Trump, if he felt he was sick, he could have got somebody privately, be like, hey, come test me. Keep this right here between us. It's only me, you, Melania. No one else knows. But they don't go that route. And I have to think there is a reason why they didn't go that route.
Bro, I doubt. I'm glad you're on the same page. Like, everything is fucking political. Everything has its own meaning. Like, I just don't put anything past anyone, especially not fucking Donald J. Trump, whatever his fucking middle. I think it is J.
There's an agenda for everything.
Yeah, everything has its agenda. And for people who are listening to this who only think, listen, your favorite rapper, like everything, your favorite news person, I don't care if it's every outlet, every media outlet. This is why I do love podcasts, not the mainstream ones that are done by celebrities. This is why I love like our little level of podcasting because it's more pure, right? Because people don't have agendas. Like everything has an agenda, and it's funny. It's not even. They used to try to hide it. It's so fucking blatant now, bro. Like they will straight up strike out facts, proven facts in media just to keep a certain agenda going. But that's a topic for another day, bro. Because I can go down there. That's the rabbit hole. And I remember the first
time. We're going through MBK likes now.
We'll get into that. Pence, Kamala. Let's leave it on that. Coming up Wednesday, what is this going to be the bloodbath that I think it's going to be?
I think Pence is going to get a tongue lashing like no other.
bro.
That's what I think. We may be surprised. Who knows?
This is going to be like the time. I feel like, you know how like when you got in trouble at school and like you had to like ride that bus home and you just knew when you get home, your parents were just waiting to give you your ass whooping. That's how I imagine Pence is being on the way to this debate. It's a long ass ride home where it's like, or one of those, wait till your dad gets home. And you got to wait for the 2 or 3 hours till your dad gets home to beat your ass because Kamala is going to fucking murder him. And the thing that makes it just drills that home to me is in the little promo clip, commercial, whatever you want to call it, and she's being interviewed and they're like, oh, well, Pence says he can't wait. He can't wait to debate you. And she gives that smirk, that snicker and says, oh, me too. It's just like you're fucking evil. But I love it. I love it. She's going to eat his ass alive, bro.
Yeah. That's an interesting statement. But here's the thing. This is going to be a very important debate. And let me tell you why. There are a lot of people, whether they're joking or not, who are questioning whether Joe Biden can even survive, literally survive 4 years of presidency. And if God forbid, you know, let's say he wins the election and God forbid something happens to him and he dies. Kamala Harris is our next president. So that's why these vice president debates, I think, are big. And obviously, they're an extension of the president itself. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested. I do think it's going to be less of a shit show than the first debate was. And I think it's going to be more topics and stuff like that. So it should be really interesting. I'm curious to see how Kamala comes at Pence and how Pence reacts.
Well, there you have it, bro. That's it. Well, we talked about the debate. We preluded the next debate. Go ahead and give them your social media, bro. Let's get up out of here.
Yes, sir. I can be reached on Twitter at the P1JB. That's at THEP1JB. You can also find me on Facebook. And yeah, thanks again for having me on the show. I appreciate that, bro.
Anytime, you bitch.
Bitch.
Hey guys, this is your girl, the First Lady, here with the Cookie Chronicles segment on the Awakened Soul podcast. And this week, I wanted to talk about dating etiquette. So I recently went on a date. And prior to the date, I told the person what I feel like were deal breakers for some people. And I let them know things that I wasn't, how can I word it? Things that I didn't want to do relationship-wise. So it may shock a few people, but I don't necessarily want to birth my own children. And a lot of men who do not have kids or want more kids, that is a deal breaker for them. So in the getting to know you process prior to this date, I let the guy know, like, hey, do you want kids? And he said that, you know, he would have them if it came along, but it wasn't anything that he would be upset about if it never happened. And I'm like, okay, because I just want to let you know, I don't necessarily want to birth my own kids. Like, I'm open to surrogacy, I'm open to adoption, I'm open to foster care. But as far as like me birthing children, I'm not interested. So he said that it was something he can deal with and it was fine. So we go on the date and it was brought up on the date. And essentially, he was like, well, you know, you kind of told me all the things you didn't want to do up front. Like, are you trying to run me away? And I was like, no, because there were other things, too. But that was like the main thing. And so I was like, no, that's not what I'm trying to do at all. He was like, well, why would you tell the person that you're trying to get to know everything up front like that? And I was like, because the things that I'm telling you are deal breakers for most people. And why not tell you or ask you how you feel about those things up front versus you getting to know me and starting to like me and then you found out later? Like, how many people do you guys know that got married but they never really talked about kids? And so they get married, one person wants kids but the other person doesn't, and it becomes like a resentful thing and they start hating each other. Like, I don't want to go through all that. So I tell people up front, like, hey, I don't want my own children. Like, I don't want to birth my own children. And so he kind of felt the way about that. But my question to you guys is, what kind of things do you tell people up front that you feel like would be deal breakers for them? And how did they respond? Like, did you get positive responses, negative responses? Did they feel like you were trying to run them away? Like, what did they say? And what are those things for you? Like, for me, it is having kids. Another one is, you know, I live in the DMV area. I don't want to stay in the DMV area. So that's another deal breaker for most people, especially if they have children. I mean, I'm not saying that we have to move right away, but eventually I no longer want to stay here. I'm trying to think of what else I told him. I don't remember anything. So I think those were the main two.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
This one was a big one, though. The other thing was that I am like a creative and I'm a personality. So if you can't deal with what comes with that, and that means like, you know, I have a huge guy following. So people flirting and leaving comments, like I can't deal with anyone insecure. And so that was the other thing that some men may consider deal breakers. Like some men don't want to deal with all of that. So those are my three things. But what are some of the things that you tell people that you feel like would be deal breakers? How did they respond? What did they say? And make sure you tell me DM on Instagram or Facebook. Catch me at the First Lady, DAFIRST_LADI, and let me know. And it wasn't all bad this date. We decided that we would continue to get to know each other and see where it goes. But he did kind of feel away about those things. So it looks like he got over it. But we'll see how it goes. I'll keep y'all updated briefly, okay? But reach out to me. Let me know. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Stop hating on a nigga, that is a weak emotion, the lady of a nickel. And you can get tipped like you waiting on a nickel. Put a body bag in the apron on a nickel. I give my all behind the mic, but you can never see if you sit behind the light. And you don't have to pick me to win the title fight, but I'ma wear the championship belt so tight. And if I'm wrong, there is no right. And if I'm wrong, there is no white. I'm trying to be polite, but you bitches in my hair like the fucking police. And my flow is rare, these other rappers nice. These other rappers bark, some of them even bite. But I'm much more bright, I give the game sight. So before you dim the light, you just might wanna...
Ladies and gentlemen, I got a first time guest on the podcast, man. This is somebody who, I don't know, some people may be shocked to hear us recording together. I don't know. All I can say, man, is yeah, man, time is a motherfucker. But I got Mr. Peabody himself from Social Complex. What's going on, bro?
Man, what's going on, man? This is probably a shockwave to a lot of people, especially in the Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. So I wanted to start this series, man, on just talking to creatives about their creative process, the space that this has put us all in, man. And I picked three people specifically. You were at the top of the list, A, because conversation is long overdue. I think we planned to do something like at some point last year, and then just schedules just didn't line up. But man, I think this is overall like a good thing to happen to A, show growth, B, it like petty shit, bro. Like, to just be honest, we ain't gonna get it all into all this shit, but like, it's funny how,
well,
like,
let's get into it, man.
Because like, I think anybody who knows me and you, and like Avery said this when I first met Avery, and she was like, you and Peabody need to sit down and have a conversation. This was before anything. She was like, you guys are so much alike. And I think, you know, it's just funny, right? Because I think anyone who, like I said, who knows both of us, several people said, Beck has said it from the team podcast, like, how do you guys not get along? You guys like the same person. It's crazy, bro. So, like,
yeah.
So, I mean, shit happens, man.
Shout out to Becky, man. She about to have a baby, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It has been long overdue. Shout out to Avery. She's the one who, you know, first. Yo, to be honest with you, off the record, we knew each other before anything ever happened. I think I had made a GroupMe like almost 3 years ago. And then one day I was going through it, maybe about a year or two ago, and I was like, yo, I've been knowing this dude, you and maybe about three other people, without knowing y'all. Like, we were in the same group, just didn't know. I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah. For sure.
But shout out to Avery, man. You know, she was like, yeah, I don't know how y'all, you know, don't get along. and y'all the same two people. I was like, man, I just don't know. I was like, man, blame social media. Yo. Social media has been a gift and a curse, yo.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I think, like, with social media, the thing is that, A, like, people are automatically, like, for some reason in this podcasting space, like, they act like everybody has to be in competition when there's more than enough people for everybody to get downloads. Like, that shit is wild, first of all.
Yeah. But then
on top of that, too, is, like, I think the thing that it started is because we are so similar, right, is the, when we both were on UML, that it was that thing of, like, people looking like, they're both on the same thing, and it was like, I mean, what? There's enough space for all this. Like, it just turned into some shit, fam. And I'm one who in the last year or so, I've admitted, like, at one point in time, my ego was fucking out of control, bro. Like, in the sense that, I know how good I am with this. And I think that I took that, I let that get out of control sometimes. So, like, it's just good to have space away from shit and look back and just see, like, damn, nigga, I was tripping. Like, for real.
There were times where I was like, fam, even while we was going back and forth, while we were doing it, I was looking back and like, duh, we really arguing over Twitter right now. I could easily just put the phone down and do this, but my ego's like, nah, keep it going. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, dog, now that you look back at it and it's died down, it's like, what the fuck were we doing, yo?
Exactly. Because I think we left money on the table, bro, because there was a time period. And it, like, us working together, collabing could have been fucking monumental. You feel me? At one point, so it was like, I don't know, man. And then I think also there was this perceived, even before me and you had our back and forth, that there was this like perceived beef when there never really was. I remember when I started the Breaks Media, it was right before you announced you were going to be on UML, and I was planning on reaching out to you and be like, look, this is what I plan on starting.
I heard about that.
Yeah, and it's so funny because it's like people when people at first were like, do you and Peabody not care for each other? I'm like, little do y'all know, I was planning to reach out to work with this man. So I think like, and then other people getting in the mix being like, oh, I heard y'all don't like each other. And then you start thinking, well, do we not like each other? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So yeah,
for sure.
No, man, like I said, social media is a motherfucker, man. Break you. Or it can make you, especially, you know, when people are behind your ear or like inside your ear.
Yeah.
And you just gotta talk to like the main source. And I mean, I can honestly say, I was an asshole, bro. And I apologize. Most definitely.
Oh, me too.
It was one thing, like I said, we were on the same network, and it's like, dog, why the fuck didn't it not work? It like should have worked. So whatever, man.
Definitely, man. I apologize too, man. Like like, looking back, bro, it's just like, wow. And then we both have, like, the same mentor, like, with Poindexter and shit. Like, we both look up to Poindexter, and to his credit, he kind of just stayed out of it. He was just like, look, I ain't got time for this shit.
Yeah.
But
he did.
Yeah, this shit's crazy, man. But I'm glad we've, like, took that time. We're both grown, man. Like, you've become a father. What's that like, man? Like, I've been a father for most of my adult life. My oldest was born when I was 19, man. So, like, what is that?
Yeah, a lot of kids like out there. It's a blessing, bro. It's humbled me a lot. in, like, my work life, just outside of, I guess, the social media. And I'm kind of toned down on social media, you know. No words that I'm trying to express right now can make it into one sentence. It's just, I try to post pictures to show people how me being a father is, but there's every every parent, whether it's father or like mother, has their own story to how they are good parents. Yeah. And for me, it's changed me, you know, drastically. I was somebody, and I've probably talked about this so many times now. I was my own worst enemy. I think I made a post not too long ago. I was my own brick wall. I made excuses for me not to finish school. And I would get tired of, you know, seeing people graduate. And, you know, I'm African. So for me, you know, the mothers and fathers, they want to see their kids succeed and graduate. The main reason why your parents, if you're African, come from overseas to America is to have a better life and to provide for like their, you know, children. And for me not to finish school every year, whether it's high school and seeing kids go to college or from them going to college to now graduate, I still haven't graduated. And, you know, with my daughter being here, it was like, yo, I gotta straighten the fuck up.
Yeah.
And I thought it was hard, but, you know, I went to the school, talked to the counselor, figured out how many more hours I needed, what hours or what classes transferred over. And she's made me a better man, not even father, just a better man. If you were to step on my shoes or to talk bad about me, I would probably get upset and do things I probably shouldn't have done. With her, it's more so I can turn the other way and just live life, man.
Yeah, yeah. Kids have that way of like centering you, right? And for me, I was still a young hothead when my oldest was born, because I was 19. But when my daughter was born, that's what. And I'm not saying it's because she was a girl. I just think combination of where I was in life and just reviewing things, it was like, yeah, all right, I need to start getting my shit together for real. And it's crazy. You know, people would be like, well, it took for you to have kids to get your shit together. But hey, fuck it. At least I got it together. But it really.
Everybody's story is different, yeah, man. You know, you need that, you know, child to make you step your game up. And like you said, having a girl, I don't know how it feels to have a, you know, son. Oh, I see you post pictures all the time. And it's like every man wants a son.
Yeah.
It's just called for what it is. Everybody wants a son. For me, I found out I had a girl, and I wouldn't trade her for anything in the world, man.
That's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And, like, it's funny because, like, you guys, like, as far as I know, the first podcasters have a baby together and stuff. So it's like, it's like your baby's been in the public eye literally since she was born, because you guys are both on social media, yeah, and shit. So it's like, we've gotten to see her grow up. So that's definitely beautiful, man. And, you know, how do you feel now that being a father has helped you or changed you creatively, like with what you do with your podcast and your platform?
I've given my co-host more. I've given him like the keys.
Okay.
I think before I really didn't have, like I said, I didn't have a child. Social Complex was my child. How I loved it. I wanted everything to go through me first. Now with my daughter being born, I've given Marcus, my co-host, the creative space to take the keys. I know right now we're doing like sneaker battles via Instagram, and that's his idea. People thought it was my idea. You know, yes, I'm a big sneakerhead. I have shoes for days, but nah, that's his idea. That's his realm now. You know what I'm saying? And I think for me, I was kind of stubborn in that way. Everything had to go through me. You know what I'm saying? I made the name. It was branded. The logo. Everything was me. With her now, it's more so like, yo, I've learned, you know, patience is a virtue. And I've heard that before, but I've used it in so many other terms. I've just never used it in the podcast realm. And I've let him take over. And not say I'm in the back seat, but it feels good when you know that you're not the only person putting in 100%.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things, like, you know, I have this podcast solo, but like the other ones that I do that I have, like, at this point now, The Breaks Radio, which is my hip hop podcast, that's like Mary's podcast, because I get like, it's all built around her. She's the legit one. Like, hell, she worked for Hot 97 for years. So it's like, I feel like, yeah, I defer to her. But it's good to have a team when you can have one. So nice. Like, and I remember like Social Complex was one of the first in like our group of, cause you know, podcasters, hundreds and thousands of podcasters, but like in the circle that we run in, it was, you guys were one of the first ones to use video consistently. Like, how do you see that now? Like, coming now into 2020, almost every major podcast that's successful has a video element. Like, you were one of the first ones that I saw, like, use it as consistently what you do. So how does that make you feel like that you guys are kind of one of the first ones to do
it? It's cool, man. It's always good to listen to a podcast at work or like you're driving, but you know, there's something called facial expressions. Yeah. You know, people are laughing on the pod. You want to know what they're laughing at. And you know, people love audio. People love visuals. Yeah. I know for me, if I'm at the crib, ironing my clothes or just cleaning, I want to watch what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Yeah. And I think for us, you know, we also have to, you know, we have a Facebook group as well. Mm-hmm. And you have to listen to your audience. It's not just what you feel is going to be successful. It's what your audience feels as well. Sure. They're the ones that's giving you the views, giving you like the listens. Yeah. And we started off on SoundCloud. I think you were the one who introduced me to Point Dexter because like, yo, SoundCloud's numbers aren't always accurate.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. So I give you credit for that as well. So I was like, hey, you know, let's bring in the visuals as well. And of course, we all know the Joe Budden podcast. I mean, I'm not the first one to come up with the idea. I saw it from them. I saw it from like the Breakfast Club. You want to see what Charlamagne is fucking laughing at, his facial expressions. So, I mean, visuals is always a key element to anything that you do, no matter what it is. People want to also see you as well. That's, you know, correct. What I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, eye candy, you know, or handsome young guy. Hell, fuck it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let me see it now.
What, so we've been in the pandemic basically for all this year. And this is kind of what got me started. It's like, there's a lot of new creatives now that are popping up. So I wanted to have these conversations with other creatives, because especially ones that are like established and have been doing this for a while. What has the pandemic taught you about yourself as a creative? What have you used it to, you know, strengthen, take away? If you notice something that wasn't working, that now you've had more time to take away. I know you've empowered Marcus more, which is great, especially since he came up with the sneaker joint, because that shit, that's like verses for sneakerheads, and I love that shit, man. I love it. But yeah. What else have you learned about yourself as a creative in this pandemic?
Getting more creative. I bought me a camera.
Okay.
So I noticed, you know, quality is everything. So I had to do research, and like I said, right now we're doing the whole IG, the pandemic, I think, and I can probably speak for everybody underground, unless you are getting paid or getting sponsored by Spotify or just by one of like the big marketers, you've still had a building, you had something still funding. We had to take a break from that. You know what I'm saying? The pandemic hit everybody. We are typically a guest based podcast. Mm-hmm. And you know, Zoom doesn't work for everybody.
That's a fact.
It just doesn't. I mean, I don't care what you say. It just doesn't. Even for a second, the building that we were recording in, they had to stop as well. So we did the whole Zoom. We did the IG live, and it fucking worked. But I think for me, now that I bought the camera, now that I've also sat back during the pandemic, watched you, you know, listened. I mean, watched you, of course. Everybody, you know, I'm gonna give a shout out to all y'all motherfuckers. I might not, but I see y'all. Okay, yeah. I see y'all. And like major props to y'all have still been able to give out content during this pandemic. And it's hard, y'all, because now you have to work with people's schedules. People's schedules change now.
Yeah.
And for me, it's or for us, I think I'm just set back, and we are still doing the IG content because it's easy, but it's hard at the same time, because you have to give out Twitter for us. And maybe Marcus can agree. That's our least active source of activity. Mm. Facebook and IG are our number one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have to accommodate for everybody. So what may work for others may not work for y'all. You know what I'm saying? And for us right now, we're focused on Facebook and IG right now until the pandemic kind of opens up a little bit more. So for right now, we've just been sitting back. I've been taking my notes. I bought the camera, so I'm trying to get my whole setup now, like yourself, of course. I bought two cameras. So I'm just trying to see how I want to work with the cameras and also include Marcus in as well.
Yeah, that's what's up. Like, yeah, video is going to be, especially going forward, going to be huge. That's why I've invested so heavily in it as well. Yeah, it's what I could tell you, like, too, with like cameras, once you like really get into them, bro, that I was looking at it when I first started, like a fucking deer in the headlights. I didn't know what I was doing when I started editing video, but it was like it's come to me now naturally, and it's like just an extension of what I do. But video is gonna be huge for everyone.
People love videos, yo. I mean, I'm a big sneakerhead. You know, some of these sneakerhead podcasts is cool, but when you sit down and watch them, I don't want to hear you talk about all the biohacks or ones. I want to see what the fuck they look like. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I want to see, you know what I'm saying? I want to see the buttery feel on what you're pissing on the toe. I want to see that. I don't want to hear you talk about it, yo.
Yeah, for sure.
So most definitely, visuals is very, very big. And shout outs to like the ladies who are also doing visuals too. I'm all big up for, you know, ladies, especially like my black ladies. Shout out to y'all. but you know, sex sells.
Yeah.
It's nothing to hide. You know, we see these ladies or we hear them. We want to see y'all.
Yeah.
Point made clear.
Yeah. And that ain't nothing left to say with that one. We definitely want to see it. Like, and like you said, for me, a podcast that I can give an example on, like I listened to the 85 South show one time and I couldn't stand it. Like, I don't know what it was about it. When I saw the video though, I was like, oh, these motherfuckers is funny as hell. Like, it's so funny how it changes the dynamic of it. So yeah, it just depends on the content. Like, some I can listen to and I don't care to see. Some I have to see the video. If they got video content, I have to see it. Joe Budden is another one for me with that. So what, like, you got the cameras, now you used to record in the studio and go to a building. Now that that's been taken away, are you starting to, like, when everything's over with, are you going to, have you planned to, like, build your own studio now in your house and have your own space? Are you planning on going back?
Most definitely, man. Yeah. I think, and to go back to your question, the pandemic, not so much what have I gained from it, but what have I learned? You don't need to go to a studio. And I think you've probably preached about that maybe like a year or two ago. Yeah. You don't need a studio. You can create your own studio, man. It's just how you want to set up and you have a vision. Instead of you paying people to edit for you, to have a setup for you, have your own setup. Save money, man. I mean, we were giving out damn near 150 bucks, almost 200 bucks a month. For what? You know what I'm saying?
Damn. Yeah.
Save up, get a camera. I think the camera I bought close to about 800 bucks. And yes, it's a lot up front, but if you were talking about 150 to 200 bucks, that shit adds up. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. Yeah.
So make your own setup, man. And another thing, we don't need guests all the time. You know, our content creates itself. Sometimes, and I'm going to say this in confidence, man. Shout out to all my guests who have been on there. I love every single last guest. Man, but fuck these guests, man. I say that to say you can have somebody, and I'm not going to say any names, but they can have a huge following, have over 100,000 true followers, not paid followers. Mm. But their content sucks. So, yes, you got them on the show because, oh, they have a big following. They come on the show, you're going to assume that's going to bring you more followers or more listens. And when they get on there, they don't have that same energy.
Yeah.
So now you're talking to a brick wall. So also, you know, just talking to Marcus, man, I think we can just do our own thing, which we have been. But I think you don't have to have a guest every time.
For sure.
You know.
For sure. That's something that I've done, too, in 2020 is like I used to have guests on every episode. Now I think I've had like maybe 10 all this year. And that's because I when I do have one on, I want it to be a reason rather than just to have a guest to have one. I want it to be a reason to how ass to the content. And I really like, I used to try to get bigger guests and like you said, but like really, I love working with early on podcasters, other podcasters that are on our level because like we just have fun doing it. Like the other people, like some of the bigger ones, like they treat these guest appearances like you're supposed to roll out the red carpet for them. And it's like, let's just have fun and have a conversation. So
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because you brought it up to me earlier. How do you feel about all these podcasts coming up, man? It's like fucking exaggeration, bro. I mean, like, do you feel that, and I don't want to say competition, but you feel as if, so, okay, I'm going to put it out there since it's kind of new. Mm-hmm. Tory Lanez.
Okay.
Tory Lanez, of course, put out a new album. We all know what happened. There's so many podcasts talking about it. Yeah. It's like, damn, whose content do I listen to? Because you're going to hear the same shit on every podcast. It's just that whose delivery is going to make it come to life.
Yeah. Man, so this is what I could say, and I hope I don't... Well, if I offend somebody, fuck it.
Fuck them, yeah.
Yeah. I don't listen to new podcasts until they like 15 to 20 episodes in, because so many pop in and 10 episodes, they gone. So like, I'm not going to invest my time in someone who I don't think is going to be around for a while. Vivi, for example, from Not Perfect, Just Broke. Like we've been interacting on Twitter for the better part of a year. And I just started listening to her podcast maybe like 3 months ago, and it's not because of her content was whack or anything, but new people pop up all the fucking time and disappear. So I caught up on all the season one before she started the new season, because it was like, all right, you've been around for a while. We've been interacting. I need to listen to what's going on. But I don't try to jump on new podcasts immediately, like, or listen to them. Like, some reach out, if they reach out and say they, like, if they retweet my show, say they listen, I'll definitely give a listen then, because I'm only, you know, you listen to me, so I can give you my time to listen to you back then. But I mean, ultimately, I don't really listen to a lot of new podcasts. And I think what that's done for me, like having a lot of podcasts, is like you said, they all talking about the Tory Lanez shit, is I now gear my content to be different. So I stand out. Like, there's 150 people talking about Tory Lanez, I'm going to throw you a curveball. I'm not even going to talk about Tory Lanez for real in this episode. Or if I do, it's going to be such a minuscule part, I'm not even going to put it in the description. You may catch it, but what I'm mainly pushing is what I'm talking about that's not Tory Lanez. So.
Facts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we got to, man. It makes it hard to stand out. And don't get me wrong, like, I get it. Podcasting is fun. Especially if you're passionate about it, it can be a form of therapy too. Mm-hmm. But like, people like who are popping into this thinking that they're going to automatically get, like, they're going to get that Spotify deal all of a sudden. It's like, come on, man. Let's be real. I've been at this for 3 years, and I got the Disney Plus sponsorship. That shit took forever. Like, that shit took 30 emails, bro, for me to get that shit. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But like, I know how hard it was just to get that. I'm not thinking about it. Like, I make good money in my career. Like, if I was doing this just to get rich, I would burn out. I do this because I'm passionate about it.
Yeah. Like you said it, yo. That's the main thing. If you think you finna come in here and you one episode in and you reach 20, 30, 40 people that, hey, listen to my podcast because I'm going to get signed, that shit ain't finna happen. Unless you probably know somebody. It ain't finna happen, y'all.
Oh, man.
No. What's the girl, and I always use her as a example. I'm a fan of her on CNN, but not a fan of her podcast. Angela Rye.
Oh, yeah.
Angela Rye, man. I love her. I love her work. But her podcast to me is not, you know, y'all's podcast. Just a lot of underground podcasts are great and are better than hers, but name value, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
But please do not, and it's for everybody who like hears this, y'all. Do not think, and if you're a new podcaster coming in the game thinking you finna just kill it, if you're doing this because of money, you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Facts. And you're gonna burn out super quick.
And like you said, it has to be, you know, therapeutic. It just has to be something that you love doing, not because you're trying to do it to get money off of. If you do it for that reason, you're gonna get burnt out.
Yeah. Hella quick. Like, it's funny to see people burn out, and then it's like, and that's not to say that everybody who burns out is like bad at this per se, but you can just tell, like, you can be good at something, but if your heart's not in it, you're gonna still burn out at it. And I've seen so much of that shit over like the last year and a half. It's just like, damn, man, so many come and go. It's crazy, bro.
Yeah, I mean, podcasting can get kind of it becomes a job.
Yeah,
sometimes,
for sure.
And when you treat it like that, hope it does get boring. I mean, hell, I've been close to that several times before. But, you know, like you said, I have to know and think, why am I doing this? And I do it because I love it, not because I think it's a job. So, you know, it's been some close calls for me.
I feel it. Yeah, man. And I mean, me and you both have been on the other side of like social media drama, not even just with each other, but just in general. And it's just like, it really pushes it into perspective that it's like, I question, and this, again, this may piss some people off, but fuck it. Like, I question sometimes the people in this game who actually have a life outside of this. You feel me? Like, y'all, some of y'all, some of them have no friends in real life, and you can tell, bro, because they everything all evolves around the timeline on Twitter, and it's just like, goddamn.
Man, you know, I know a few people who don't like me who I know you follow, man, so let me keep my fucking keep my comments to myself. Shout out to everybody who still screenshots and, you know, sends the mother of my child things, y'all. Me and her are on good terms, so I do know everything. Yeah. It's just, I don't have the energy no more, B. Like, you know, after the whole debacle of me fucking up my home, yes, I fucked up my home. You know, I'm not even gonna lie to you. Maybe I'm a sick person inside. I kind of fed up that shit. You know what I'm saying? It was entertaining. I didn't feel upset about it, nor was I mad. It was more so, okay, cool. This is just new content for the pod.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought. Like, okay, cool. You're upset? Bet. Let me use that. It's new content. I made a whole fucking episode as to what happened. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's, people have too much time on their hands. Y'all. It's, I'm not going to say it's old news, but hell, you know, if you hate me because you hate me because of that reason, I understand. But people have way too much drama or way too much time to make drama on social media, y'all.
Yeah, I mean, we know who the ones are that have no, like, they feed off what's going on in other people's lives because they must not have much going on in theirs. And, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. That's, the shit that happened with y'all, that ultimately was y'all. Yeah, it was put on social media and people responded and got involved and whatnot. Man. But at the end of the day, like, that's up for you two to figure out. And it sounds like you did. You guys are on good terms. Let them be like, that's what I mean. If people still sending her shit, like, that's just, y'all got to be some sad ass people, man.
I would say like their names, but I don't know their social media names by heart. So guys, if I haven't paid that much attention to them, but I don't know their social media names by heart.
Fuck it, man. Fuck it. You know what? It's not even worth the time. Like, for real, they don't even deserve to shine. Like, for real, man. And the thing is, I think, and I like that you said that and you admitted that, like, you had to grow from that. Like, anyone who says that they haven't, of course, theirs isn't on social media and on podcast because they probably weren't in that place. We've all had that, yeah, that time or that relationship or that whatever that we've gone through, that it takes you to reflect on you. It makes you reflect on yourself and makes you reflect on your actions and just be like, damn, thank God I'm not where I was then. Like, for real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Learned a lot, bro. It's last year to this year was a wild, well, yeah, it was a wild, 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 wild ride. So I learned my lessons, you know, broke up a happy home, came back to the home. So, you know, hey, now we here.
There you go.
So, you know, it's crazy. Oh, man, if I could write a book right now about that. Woo. Yeah, man, I salute. And I say this on almost on every pod that I'm on now. I salute all the fathers and all the mothers, whether you're a single parent or y'all together. Being a parent is as good and as lovely as your child brings you. Being a parent is hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to learn not to be selfish.
For sure.
So though, you know, your world is not resolved around you. It revolves around everybody now. So yeah, man. Bro, this is a long time coming, bro.
For sure, man. For sure.
I am still shocked we're even doing this right now. Like, like a year ago, we were supposed to do it. I just don't know, man. I don't know why we didn't do this, yo.
Yeah, I honestly think it was like our schedules, and then we didn't reschedule, and then that was literally like, I think like 3 weeks before the shit went down. So at that point, I really wasn't going to try to reach out and reschedule it because it's like, damn, how insensitive.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I was walking inside the grocery store and you called and we were talking, yeah. And then a couple of weeks later, you know, hey, Twitter,
yeah,
the atomic bomb dropped and, you know, everybody went crazy. So sure. It was, I went incognito for a couple. I mean, Marcus was like, bro, don't go on social media. And I wanted to. I was like, man, fuck everybody, dog. Yeah. But, nah, man. You live and you learn.
For sure.
You live and you learn, bro. Now sure. I can joke about it. I can, you know, get joked on and still laugh about it. But it is what it is, man.
Yeah, man. I think if nothing else, like, for the ones that listen to this and know, like, it just shows that black men, like, we can put our pride to the side. And that's When I tagged you and I was like, all right, he may either take this as me being petty. Like, this is just me going back to like when we were had our little shit. I'm like, I hope he don't take this as me being petty. Like, legit, no. I want him on this episode. So then when you responded, you like, get at me. I'm like, all right, good, we good. Like, that is man, good.
Somebody hit me up. I think when I said, yo, get at me, or I said something. Uh-huh. And I think old girl, she said something like, he just did. Somebody was like, say, B, don't get upset. So I'm like, fam, like, I'm not a monster. I'm not upset. I actually laughed at it, yo. Yeah. So
I knew what you meant by that, man. That's just, yeah, man. People keep shit going, man. But like, ultimately, I'm glad that we did this, man. We got to work together again, for real. Like, real talk, man. So any on this, like, I want you, before we go and depart, before you give your social media, man, one piece of knowledge that you give to a creative who's thinking about, who's either starting, getting discouraged, wants to get into this game, what would be the advice that you would give them?
Cool. Take your time. Don't rush. Have a vision. Think about what you're doing. And please, from the bottom of my heart, money will always be there. Money will be there before you're born, after you die. Money's going to be there, okay? Do not do this for the money. Let that come on its own. Do this because you love it. And that's pretty much it. Do this because you love it. If you do this for money and you're trying to rush something, it's going to be trash.
That's a fact.
Point blank, period.
Yep.
I'm not trying to be mean, rude. Do this because you love doing it. If only one person listens to this every episode that you drop, at least you know you have one person that is anticipating your episode. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I've learned, hell, we live in Houston. Yes, our audience is big in Houston, but most of our listeners who actually contact us, like, hey, why haven't you dropped an episode, is in California. Mm-hmm. And that just lets us know that, hey, you know, people listen because they like our content. So do it because you love it, man. Once you don't love it, like you said earlier, just stop. Save yourself the time, headache, just stop.
That's a fact. There you go. Well, that's been a conversation long overdue, man. Peabody, go ahead and give them your social media, man. Let them know where they can follow you in the podcast.
My social media, man, I'm so bad at giving out my social media, man. Ladies, please, when I give out my social media, please do not hit up my DM. Please, I'm repeating. Not hit up my DM. I'm playing. My individual DM, of course, is social_P. You can find me on that name on both platforms. That's Twitter and Instagram. As far as for the podcast, it's social_complex_. Just type in social complex. It pops up automatically anyway. And that's also for both platforms. CEO Hayes, it's been a pleasure. Once this drops or people even get a glimpse of it, I know people are going to be like, this is fake, right? We are not Donald Trump. This is not fake news. This is reality, folks. This is, this is a reality.
Long overdue, man. Awesome. Thank you, bro, for taking the time out, man. I do appreciate it, man. Like I said, we're going to be talking, man, because I think we need to work together more. So definitely.
Oh, yes, man. Most definitely, man. Black people, I love you. Breonna Taylor, I love you still. I still love you.
There you go. That's it. Let's send it off on that. I got these niggas breezy. Don't worry about it. Let that bitch breathe. I used to give a fuck. Now I give a fuck less. What do I think of success? It sucks. Too much stress. I guess I blew up quick. Cause friends I grew up with see me as a preemie, but I'm not, and my nuts big. I don't know what the fuss is. My career is illustrious. My rep is impeccable. I'm not to be fucked with. With shit. Let that bitch breathe. I'm way too important to be talking about extorting. Asking me for a Porsche is like asking for a coffin. Broad daylight, I off your on switch. You're not too bright. Good night, long kiss. Bye-bye, my reply, blah, blah. Blast burner, then pass burner, the ta-ta. Finish my breakfast, why? I got an appetite for destruction and you're a small fry. Now where was I? Let that bitch breathe. I used to give a shit, now I don't give a shit more. Truth be told, I have more fun.
fun when I was pissed poor, I'm pissed off. This is success all about. A bunch of niggas acting like bitches with big mouths. All this stress, all I got is this big house. Couple cars, I don't bring half of them shits out. All the say spade I drink just to piss out. I mean, I like the taste, could've saved myself 6 hours. How many times can I go to Mr. Chow's? Towels, no boo. Hold up, let me move my bowels. I shit on y'all niggas. OG, tell these boys.
I ain't got shit on my nigga.
I got watches I ain't seen in months. Apartment at the Trump, only slept in once. Niggas said hover was over, such dummies. Even if I fail, I land on a bunch of money. Y'all ain't got nothing for me. Nas, let that bitch breathe.
Success, McLaren, women staring. My villain appearance, sacred blood of a king in my vein ain't spilling. Ghetto Othello, sugar hero mellow, Camaro driven. I climax from paper, then ask why is life worth living? Is it the hunt for the shit that you want? To receive great, but I lust giving. The best jewelers wanna make my things. I make Jacob shit on the rain just to make me a chain. Niggas mentioned the one love, came home the paper in hand. They gotta brag about the feds, young man. Old cribs I sold, y'all drive by like monuments. Google Earth, Nas, I got flats in other continents. Worst enemies wanna be my best friends. Best friends wanna be enemies, like that's what's in. But I don't give a fuck, walk inside the lion's den. Take everybody's chips, about to cash them in. Up your catalog, dog, mine's worth too much. Like Mike Jack's ATV park, but Tola can't touch. Let this bitch breathe. Let this bitch breathe.